my name is Levana Lathrop. I'm the interviewer, and the interviewee is Mr. George Euler. Today is February the 25th of 2005. So we can begin. I think that's all the introduction that I really need. We're doing this. It's called the Oral History Project through the Salida Library, and it's kind of connected with Historic Salida, Inc., which I'm a member of.
Okay.
Now, this picks up really good, so you can go ahead and start as far back as you can remember.
Now, what do you mean, since I came here?
Since you, where you came from.
Well,
that would be good. And then just, you know.
Okay. I'm George Euler, and I came to Salida in 1951 from North Platte, Nebraska, where I had been managing papers for a corporation there, and I purchased the Mountain Mail, and I ran it, I guess, for about 20 years. And I purchased it from John M. O'Connell, and I've lived in the same house for all these years. No, I'll take it back. I lived for a while over the newspaper office in an apartment up there with my wife and family. And then we bought this house out on Rainbow Boulevard, and I've been here since. Mm-hmm. And other than running the newspaper and operating it, I retired to a ranch that I had down in Bear Creek, which is about a mile and a half below Salida and up the Bear Creek Gulch. And I tried actively to run cows and be a rancher, but I never was very successful at that because I couldn't tell one cow from the other. But I had a lot of fun doing it, and those were actually the best years of my life because I was outdoors and riding horseback and with land here and over in the San Luis Valley, and they were the best years of my life. And not that I haven't had a good life all the time, but those were enjoyable years. And since then, I've been retired, and I haven't done very much. I sold the place down in Bear Creek, and when I retired, but I retained some property over in the San Luis Valley, and I frequently go over there just to get away because I don't have any cows or anything else anymore. And that's about it. I lost my wife about 6 years ago, and we had two children, Rocky Euler and Court Euler, whom we adopted out of Kansas.
Where at in Kansas, may I ask?
Lawrence, Kansas.
All right.
And we saw both of them through school, and they both live here in Salida, for which I'm grateful. And other than that, I guess I've just had a normal life that anybody could have. But I'll be 90 years old in February. I guess it's already passed, so it must be 90. No, I'm 89. I'm sorry. I'm 89. Mm-hmm. Where I was born? I was born in Collinsville, Oklahoma, 1916. So I think that makes me 89.
1916, did you say? 16. Okay. 16. Okay. Well, that's great, George. Can you speak a little bit about what interested you here, what your activities were, and about maybe some of the buildings downtown that you remember, or, you know, just different little things like that?
Yes. I came here from Leeds, South Dakota, where I was running a newspaper for corporations, and I purchased the Mount Mail, and was not much different today than, or isn't much different today than it was then. It has, as far as growth is concerned, I think the population has stayed about the same, but Salida was a railroad town when I came here, and most of the people who were employed worked for the railroad or derived a living indirectly from the railroad by what the railroad people spent. And I'm not sure Salida was just a modest town, but a good town, but not an exciting town. There were not murders or anything like that around here, and we lived a pretty pleasant life. Enjoyed this elevation of 7,000 feet.
Were you ever interested, like, in hunting or fishing?
Oh, yes, I hunted. I hunted antelope over on the east side, and I hunted deer and elk over here, and mostly in the San Luis Valley, however, and had a lot of fun doing that. And my wife would go hunting with me, too. She didn't carry a gun, but she liked to go, and she had good eyes for game, so she was welcome. Mm-hmm. And we did all right.
You ate the meat? This was your means of your food? Like, you ate them?
Oh, we always had the meat processed, mm-hmm, and enjoyed that very much. But it wasn't the main source of food by any miter means, because some years I didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a great hobby anyway, and this is a good place to go hunting, and we attract a lot of out-of-state hunters in the Salida area.
When you first arrived here and started living here, what was the tourism like? Were there a lot of tourists that came through? Like, was there many motels for them?
When I first came here, we didn't recognize tourism as probably one of our most important assets, but it became that over the years. Mm-hmm. There wasn't as much travel in those days as there is now, and mm-hmm, people didn't move around quite as much as they do. Mm-hmm. I remember the first vacation I think my folks ever took. We lived in Kansas, and my dad wanted to go to Colorado, and that was my first trip to Colorado. We came out here in an old open sedan Buick, and with a soft top on it and no curtains on the side, and we prowled around Colorado, and that was my first visit to Colorado, I newspapered in Nebraska and in South Dakota, and I always worked for somebody else, and I decided I'd like to try one on my own. And so this one was for sale from Bob and Lee Abbey, who were from Kansas, and they were anxious to get rid of the paper, so I bought it. And then later on, I bought the Monta Vista Journal and the Del Norte Prospector and newspapered in the San Luis Valley, too. But I had sold the Salida paper first, and I kept the other two for 8 years after. I think I sold them in 78. And then I retired and messed around with the ranch.
So you just had cows?
I had cows for a while, but as I said, I couldn't tell one cow from the other, so I didn't think I was very successful at that. But yeah, I rode horses and had horses, and that was a different life than newspapering, so I really enjoyed that.
Being outside, probably.
Beg pardon?
Being outside was...
Yes, being outside, and I liked that, and I guess I liked the role of cowboying, and I wasn't very good at it, but it was lots of fun.
I'm sure. Okay. Is there anything else, like, that you can remember that would be interesting for this interview? Like, your rock and court was involved in school activities, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Both of them were active in school and graduated from Salida, and then Brock went on to the university and finished there. And Court, I went a little while. And I had a stepson, too, Lance, by my second wife. It was her son. And we sent him to Adams State for a while. He graduated also from Salida, and I think he was born either in Leadville or in Salida, and both Brock and Court were born here. Mm-hmm. And then I had two girls by a previous marriage, and they didn't live with me, but except for a short time. For a short time when I had the Mount Mail, they were with me, but they obviously wanted to be with their mother, so although I had custody of them, I gave them to her. Mm-hmm. And that was a good thing that I did that. I think it's pretty hard for a man to be a mother to two girls. And so that worked out all right. And we have, my ex-wife is still alive, and I don't see her except that she and one of my daughters, Dinah, lived together. And we're not we're amiable, and we don't associate, but certainly we speak to each other. Mm-hmm. And so it worked out all right.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I hate broken homes, but sometimes they're necessary, I guess.
I've wondered about, now you came here in 1951. Is when you moved to Salida. Was this Rainbow Boulevard always Highway 50 through this part of town?
Yes, ma'am. It was always Highway 50.
Okay. Were there a lot of these businesses?
Oh, no. No. A lot of the town, as Main Street, has moved out on the highway, but it had just a couple of filling stations and a couple of motels, and since then it has developed quite drastically, and we have a lot more accommodations now in Salida than we had before. But the highway, yes, was always here. This is the through highway from the East Coast to the West Coast, and it's kind of a crossroads because we're also kind of the center of North and South, and but other than that, I don't think of anything very spectacular. I guess we had some exciting stories when I had the newspaper. But I don't remember that any of them were necessarily history-making.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Hutch Ranch was down yonder.
Hutchinson Ranch?
Was down yonder. And
yes.
I heard they took their cows down to the San Luis Valley also for the summer.
They even rented my ranch down in Bear Creek a season or two.
Oh, did they?
And ran down there, yes, after I got rid of my cows.
Mm-hmm.
And
How many acres was that?
I had about 1,020 or 1,030.
Wow.
Something like that. And it was known as the Jones Ranch. Roy Jones owned that, and it had been in his family for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And there's an old house down there, and it's still standing, an old log house that was hand-built. And we put a cement floor in it and used it for storage and feed storage. But it was it's a historical place. I'm rather surprised that nobody ever wanted to put it on the historical record, but I didn't ask for it or push for it or anything because I didn't know whether it was quite old enough. Mm-hmm. But it was an old ranch. The Bear Creek Ranch goes back a long, long ways. And I can't remember the first owners, but... And it also included 160 acres up on Methodist, and I still own a small portion of that. I have since sold that off to people who built houses up there. But I think I still have about 60 acres up there. Mm-hmm. And about 60 acres down in what we call Silver Hills, which was the first gulch west of Bear Creek. And they touched each other. My property extended from Bear Creek over to Silver Hills, or the ranch did. And so it was contiguous at one time. And when I sold off Bear Creek, I didn't sell this portion, so I retained some of that and have since sold some of it. But I still have a small portion down there. Mm-hmm. And I still have a small portion up on Methodist. Mm-hmm. It's a unique piece of property. It goes out on a hill just off of the High Line up there, and you can look down on the city of Salida and get the bird's eye view of the whole valley, almost all the way to Buena Vista.
Wow.
So I like that.
Down, now, Bear Creek, how far, it's south, it's in the San Luis Valley, but far?
No, it isn't in the San Luis Valley.
Oh, it isn't, okay.
It's in the Arkansas Valley. It's just below the sail, where the old sail barn used to be down there.
Oh, okay.
And you go to the right, Jim Treat lives right at the entrance of Bear Creek. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two or three other families live up Bear Creek now. Mm-hmm. The time I bought that, there was nobody living up there. Mm-hmm. And I never lived up there. I lived always out here on Rainbow Boulevard. Mm-hmm. But that's Bear Creek.
Okay.
And it goes way back up in there. I said no one lived there, and no one did live there, but Jack Thorne, who was, I believe, a federal wildlife officer of some sort. He had 160 acres up there, and it was above my place. Mm-hmm. That was the only other owner, I think, in that area.
So was that, did the Arkansas River run?
No, the Arkansas River and the highway are below the Bear Creek. You turn to the right at the Treat House.
Okay, I see.
And there's a little brick house there that Roy Jones built, and I never lived in it, but I owned it and I rented that to people. Mm-hmm. And then the original homestead was up above that on the same road, Bear Creek Road, and it was an old log house that I mentioned before. And mm-hmm. I really think it has some significant historical importance in the area, but maybe no one knows about it or nobody thought about it or anything, and I never ever pushed for anything, but I'm happy to say it's still standing, and mm-hmm. and we really, it's almost in original shape. Someone had put an addition on the back side of it, and it was the kitchen. But other than that, there hasn't probably been any change from the original.
To get to there, I'd like to write that down. Let's see, I don't think I have a piece of scrap paper.
It's County Road 101.
101, I wondered about that.
Yes.
And then how far?
Well, Bear Creek goes clear to the National Forest. It goes up there probably maybe 6 or 7 miles. But my place was at the bottom of it, the very bottom. And it extends up there about a mile or a mile and a half up the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the original Bear Creek Ranch.
That's part. Where the cabin is that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. Really. We try to find places, you know, of course, that have historical significance
mm-hmm.
around the area. 291, did it always come in off of Highway 50?
The valley? No, ma'am. It doesn't go through. It just goes up the Bear Creek drainage
mm-hmm.
and ends up there at the forest.
Mm-hmm.
There's no connection at the top end. You can't get at the top end,
okay.
and you can't get in the top end, of
okay.
course.
Okay.
So it's a one-way deal.
The 101 road you're talking about.
The
101?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. What I was wondering is 291 that goes through town is First Street? You know, First Street is
mm-hmm.
291. Did that always come off of...
Bear Creek? No.
No, but come off of Highway 50, out there where it comes off
yes.
now?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that highway was always there since I've been here.
Always there. And at that time, that was the main business part.
Oh, yes. Yes, there wasn't too much out on the highway.
Sliding, right.
Just a couple of filling stations.
And
one motel is still down there.
Is it the Circle R?
No.
No?
No, not the Circle R. It was on east of that,
mm-hmm.
on the corner. It was an older motel.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of the name of
the motel
of that one.
I'm trying to remember if
it's still going. It's still a motel.
No, not now. I think they rent maybe part of it out to people for permanent residence. But
okay,
it's on the right side as you go up towards Methodist Mountain. About where Gibson's used to be, you turn there.
Oh, okay.
There's a shoe store on the
mm-hmm.
right side.
And right. Mm-hmm.
You go up the Methodist Mountain Road there.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's 107. Where that flashing yellow light is.
Yes. Yes,
right.
Ma'am.
I had a question. What do you remember about if you could maybe do a little... expanding on your memory of the railroad and when it was in operation and going through?
Date-wise, probably not. It was operating when I came here. There was a railroad, and we had a boat race train a few years that went down, followed the race down to Cotopaxi.
Oh.
And they sold tickets on that. And at first, the railroad objected. They didn't want anything to do with that. And then finally, they came to us. And I was working on the boat race at that time. And they suggested maybe they could run an excursion route down there. So they sold an excursion ticket, and you could ride down to Cotopaxi and watch the boat races go down.
Mm.
And then the railroad, I can't remember exactly when it went out, but...
I think it was in 85 when they
was
stopped.
Was it in 85?
Coming out here, I think that's what I
sounds about right.
Read.
And, and of course, there's been no activity on that line since.
But...
rails are still there.
Yeah. I'd love to have it still being a, you know, a passenger. So at that time, when they would take excursion trips, there were passenger cars, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe one. I'm not sure how many there were.
Okay.
But the railroad didn't look kindly towards that at first, and then they kindly came around, and the railroad and Slida had a dispute over something, and I can't remember exactly what it was all about, but they were at odds with each other, the town and the railroad, and the railroad was bitter about it for a while. And something changed, and I'm trying to think of their public relations director, who I got fairly well acquainted with him, and he became quite friendly towards Slida, but there was definitely a feeling of antagonism between the two, and I think that has since been fully resolved, although maybe not forgotten by everyone.
Would you think that was one of the reasons for the demise of it coming through Salida? Do you think that was kind of the reason?
Yeah, one of the railroad executives, and as I said, I can't remember his name, he got up at a public meeting, and during this fight he said he'd see grass growing in the main street of Salida before he got through with them. So it was a pretty bitter fight.
Sounds like it. Wow. You know, it's kind of funny, and maybe, I don't know how, you know, what your feelings about it would be, but it's what started the town.
The railroad. Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's no doubt about that.
It's just kind of...
And I think they owned the town. I think that's why they said they'd see grass growing in it, and they figured it'd disappear if they said, gave the word, you know. But it was just a statement that was made offhand, and probably in bitterness of some sort. But
probably so, yeah.
Yes, no, Slida wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for the railroad.
That's right. Okay. I don't know if you know anything about this, but on 4th Street, where the State Farm Insurance building is, there's those five houses that look alike.
Yes, and I can't tell you about that. I've often wondered about that, too.
Well,
because
I wondered if you...
Multiple housing wasn't generally available at that period in many, many towns. This was one of the first towns that I ever saw where you had adjoining housing, and it was kind of unique. I always thought that was kind of different. Than
Well, I have read that those were built for residences of the people that worked on the railroad.
The ones on the 1st Street, or is that 2nd Street? 1st Street. They were cribs.
Oh, well, yeah. Those down there.
Yeah. But the ones up on, what would it be, 5th or 6th?
Well, 4th. Right across from the Alpine Park. They're F and 4th and F. They're all built just exactly like. Of course, now, you know, they have the little...
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure that was housing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that was there when I came.
Oh, yeah. In fact, yeah, I've got pictures of Salida taken from Tenderfoot Mountain, and it shows those, and this was way back.
Mm-hmm.
It shows those, the roofs,
uh-huh.
Just the roofs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they've been there a long, long time.
Okay, you mentioned the cribs. Of course, it's a popular... You know, everybody knows that Laura Evans,
right,
was
madam.
The madam, and the cribs were her girls' place where they where they lived. And it's just
she was alive when I came.
Quite. Oh yeah, yeah. She died in what was it? 52. Well, it'd been right after you came. I think she's passed away in 52.
She wasn't alive too long after I came, but
yeah.
She was a helpful community member, I think, as far as when there was a drive on for this or for that. She always participated and gave. And no, she was, I think, probably a kind person. It was just that period. She was probably, because of the railroad connection, I think she probably had a reason for being here. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she's a part of our history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, very much so. Right. Okay. All right, George, is there anything else you can think of? I think we've covered the paper that I sent you that you kind of would jog your memory, and I have it right here. So, being you weren't born here.
No.
But you lived here since 51.
Yeah, right.
That's quite something.
I might tell you that they weren't in existence when I came, but there were initially two newspapers here. Bill McConnell owned the Mail, and Bill Marquardt owned the Mail Record. And the Mail Record building, which has since been enlarged several times, but was the original place of the Marquardt paper, which was the Record. And the Mail was in a building later occupied by Stotler Motor Company and has since been torn down. But it was east or north of the old First National Bank building down there, or it would be north of the Koster Corner. You know where Koster's office is there on the corner with the sandstone steps leading up there, around steps right on the corner of 2nd and Main.
2nd and...
That was the Koster building.
Oh, okay.
And actually, it wasn't the original Koster building, but it was during my time it was known as the Koster building.
And you said it was the 2nd and F?
Yes.
Main Street? Oh.
Right across from the drugstore, the present drugstore.
Oh, okay.
There's okay. Got round yeah. Sandstone steps leading up to the building, and I forgot what's in there now.
Is it that...
Antique store?
That gift shop? The liquor store across...
No, it isn't the liquor
that,
store.
The wine store?
Okay. Yes.
The wine.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's the wine tasting.
Did you say it was called Koster?
Well, Koster Insurance is on the building, I believe.
Okay.
K-O-S-T-E-R. Harold R. Koster was in there for years and years. And later, his son Wallace Koster was in there.
Okay.
And since they quit, it's become something else. And I'm not sure what it is.
What? Knights of Pythias is...
Yes, that's what's on the top of the building,
yeah,
not Koster. It's Knights of Pythias.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I confused you.
You were jogging my memory. sometimes we have tours of places that are above the bottom one. It's called Living Above the Store. And I haven't been up there, but... We've had tours up the second story.
There, yeah, I think there's a big room up there.
Yeah, which was probably meetings or something, meeting rooms. Okay, George. Well, that's very good. We appreciate this. And
I wish I could tell you something exciting, but I...
What?
Yeah, I think there were exciting things happened here, but I don't recall any of them right now.
That's fine. So I'll just... unless there's something that just really comes into your mind, if you think this is about
I really don't think of anything. I think probably the biggest thing that ever happened around here was the development of the frying pan. Water project,
mm-hmm.
And we all worked hard on that. And we had little gold frying pans. And I'm sorry, I don't have one of those. It was about a little tin frying pan, a gold frying pan, about 5 inches around. And it was labeled the frying pan. And they were sold to the merchants up and down the street to support the movement. That was the biggest thing that happened. And that was really the reason I came here, was the development of that Arkansas. I had read that someplace, and I thought, boy, that's going to be a real big deal. And I guess I thought about it in terms of the big Thompson or something. Mm-hmm. And it materialized, but it wasn't of any great change anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't say that it wasn't important, because it was important, but it didn't signify a great economical boon or anything.
Right, I see. Yeah, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.